Good morning, Open Door. We're glad you all are here this morning. You guys ready for Vacation Bible School? You can see all the nice decorations around here. You know, when I walked in the church this morning, I looked up here and I seen all these disco balls hanging up here. And I remember, you know, I was a kid of the 70s, so I remember disco music. You guys remember disco music? Yeah, we got one back there. Well, fortunate for you all, Mike cannot play disco music, but I can play some other stuff from the 70s. So let's get up and stand up and worship this morning.
Heavenly armor will enter the land.
The battle belongs to the Lord.
The weapon that's fashioned against us will stand.
The battle belongs to the Lord.
And we say,
your heads, we open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and praise you that you have won the battle for us when your son died on the cross and rose again victorious through your power, God. You brought victory to us, God, and I thank you and I praise you for that. Lord, as we come here this morning and worship you and to hear from you this morning, God, I pray the anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon us, upon our worship, upon the word that Pastor Larry has for us. And as we get ready to go into this week of VBS, God, I pray that you give us a full armor of God as we go out there and teach and these kids and to show them the light that you are, God. And I thank you and praise you for it. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated as we will start out with a video.
Join us at Illumination Station for the brightest week of the year. Each day at VBS, we will be challenged to answer Jesus' important question to his disciples: who do you say that I am? Explore all the ways light brightens, illuminates, reflects, and reveals that Jesus is the light who brings hope to a dark world. Shine a light on who Jesus really is at Spotlight Bible Study. Illuminate creativity at Kaleidoscope Crafts. Reflect the love of Jesus at Mirror Ball Music. Learn about missionaries at Glow in the Dark Missions. Play games at Suncatcher Recreation. Recharge at Neon Snacks. Shine a light on who Jesus really is at Illumination Station Worship Rally. Some might see Jesus as just a person from history, a good man, or a wise teacher, but he is so much more than that. Join us at Illumination Station VBS for the brightest week of the year. Sign up today.
Anybody know what the theme is this year for VBS? Somebody, tell me. Illumination, that's right. Some people say, look and they're like, is it like this every Sunday? Half the praise band believes it should be. Listen, we have a fog machine back there. Kevin wants to kick it on, but I don't know if you can handle that, all right? But VBS begins when? I say it begins today, all right? All right, I say it begins today, and what would VBS be without a water gun, huh? What would happen here, huh? Well, I mean, come on. Yeah. It's the one time a year I get to be 12. All right, so listen. If you have anybody in your neighborhood, friends, whatever, invite them to VBS. It's going to be a great time. As you can see, we're set up and pretty much ready. Pretty much. This will kind of more what it'll look like. I mean, so just be prepared. It's going to be illuminated in here, all right? So be prepared for that. And we're excited about it and hope that you are too. So plan to be here tomorrow at 6 o'clock. It kicks off. Registration, you want to get here before that. You can pre-register, which will be quicker, or you can stand in line and register either way, but we want you to be here. So plan to be here. Also, next Sunday, on June 21st, there will be no Sunday school. Yes, there will be worship just like today, but there will be no Sunday school. I'm already going to give you all a heads up. I'm probably going to cancel next Wednesday evening services because about 70 of us volunteers are going to be tired. We're already tired for the setup, all right? So I can already give you that. So please read your bulletin, Danica Ramsey's graduation party. Everyone in here is invited to her graduation party. And then also, please check the two coat racks in the back. We have an accumulation of coats and sweaters and hats and things like that back there. Listen, we ask you to stop by there and check that out, see if you have anything, because we're going to clean that out, okay? Just fair warning, we're going to clean that up. So, all right? And if you're interested in open door swag, you can tell us about that. Hi. My name is? All right, so any questions, see her, right? Now, I love having a water gun. I just figured out, when I see people nodding off, this is going to be so cool. I already had one guy told me he was thinking about sleeping already, and he's right there. All right, back to you, Mike. Community Fun Day is today at Redeeming Grace, and anybody can go help with that down in Elm Grove. We're going to meet down there at 4 o'clock. It's their block party, and it's from 5 to 7. Rain or shine, they will either be outside at the park or inside their building where they're worshiping. So if you can make that today, Redeeming Grace in Elm Grove, you see me if you want more information.
All right, thank you, Pastor Larry. All right, we come on, stand back up again now. A little bit of participation today. Y'all got two of these, right? A little bit of instruction. You take the hand, you take this, and you go, okay? Do I try one more time? There's no timing. There's no thing. You really have to, like, a, you know, keep a beat or nothing. And you have one of these, too, right? Follow Cynthia and Carrie Ann there for a little, and Paula and Carrie Ann after that. You guys will know. And you also have these, right? So you can also go, okay?
At the same time.
At the same time. So let's give it a try. Ready? One. One, two, three. All right. Let's give it a try.
Kings and Lord of Lords, glory.
Did pretty good until about the third time, so I'll give you that. You know.
Stone, I lay in Zion.
Oh.
We come and we do praise your great name. You are so worthy to be praised. Lord, we lift your name on high. We lift it up because there is power, there is healing, there is redemption in your great name. So, Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for all that you provide for us. Because, Father, if you didn't provide it, we would be with a people with no hope. We would have no guidance, no balance in our life. But thank you, Lord Jesus, for revealing yourself to us and showing yourself to us, calling us to yourself. And so, Lord, we just want to lift up your name, your great name, to be praised. You are so worthy. And, Father, as we come now to the time of giving of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, we pray that you would bless both the gift and the giver, Lord, and that these gifts will be used to the further of your kingdom, and Lord, that the generosity of your people will be blessed beyond measure by you. So Lord, we just lift this offering up to you. As always, Lord, as always, if I'm going to say something that is not right or not true, or if this word is not going to glorify and lift up your holy name, I pray that you will silence my lips, not allow me to speak. Lord, for I'm not here for me. I'm here for you, for people to know you. So Lord, help me to speak with your authority, under your power, not my own, that your great name would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. We are so blessed to have you. If you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We'll get to verse 16. Don't forget, this is the second part of last week's sermon. I've entitled, I Will Not Leave You. I'm going to start off with this. A man was driving through the mountains late at night. Well, of course, his GPS lost signal, but the map on the screen still showed a road ahead. And trusting the screen more than his eyes, he kept driving. Well, the road got narrower. The pavement began to disappear. Then all of a sudden, the guardrails disappeared. But he kept going because the GPS was telling him he was on the right path. Well, finally, his headlights revealed what the darkness had hidden, and it was a washed-out bridge. So he comes up onto that, the headlights revealed, so he slammed on the brakes and stopped just a few feet from driving into a ravine. And when authorities arrived, they asked him the obvious question, "Didn't you see the warning signs?" "I was just following my GPS." And he answered, "I was just following what the GPS told me to do." Now, the problem wasn't that he lacked direction. That wasn't the problem, that he lacked direction. The problem was that he was following directions that were no longer connected to reality. And I honestly think that describes the world we're living in today. We're no longer connected to reality. where everybody has directions. Everybody has opinions. Where everybody has a voice telling us where to go and what to believe and what to do. Social media tells us one thing. Politicians tell us another thing. And then the expert tells us something else. And then some influencer comes along and will tell us something different tomorrow, right, than he did today. Therefore, the question is not, do we have guidance? That's not the question. The question is, who can we trust to guide us into the truth? Could you imagine if everything in the world started telling the truth? And that's exactly what Jesus addresses in John chapter 14. And he prepares to leave, as he prepares to leave his disciples, remember he's on a farewell discourse here, right? As he prepares to leave his disciples, and he makes a remarkable promise in John 14, verse 16, where he says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world," watch, "whom the world cannot receive." The world doesn't have this. Now we understand in the world, right? "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So Jesus, that more, the Lord added his blessing to the reading. So Jesus in this passage, in this chapter, if you remember, last week he says he will send another helper. Remember? Another. What does that mean in Greek? Another of the same, of the exact same. Not just the same, but of the exact same kind. Exactly the same. No difference. And the helper that he is sending will live it where? He'll live inside of us, and he will abide in us. And then he comes and he says that God the Father and God the Son will be in you. So along with the Holy Spirit, you have the Son and the Father that are in us. Now, if you remember last week, we called that the what? The Trinity, right? They are always there regardless of the situation going on around you. Now, a lot of us know a lot about God the Father, and a lot of us know even more about God the Son, but we don't study, I don't think we study enough, or we don't think about and we don't talk about God the Holy Spirit a whole lot. And maybe it's because we've seen so much of this excessive gimmickry. And I don't know what else to call it but gimmickry. So I'm just going to be blunt, all right? That's what I'm going to call it, gimmickry. We see so much on television where we see people passing out, being slain in the spirit. Now let me tell you where, tell me where that's at in Scripture. I'll wait. I'm going to wait what? I'm going to wait a long time. Why is that? Because it's not there. You can't find that in Scripture. And Mike, after last week's sermon, Mike came up to me and said something very profound. He says, you know, being the Holy Spirit being revealed. Listen, the Holy Spirit's already been revealed. Listen, he's exactly like Jesus Christ. He's going to do and act just as Jesus did. Right? Isn't that what we talked about, right? He's going to be of the exact same kind. Do you see Jesus doing any of this? Right? Because you're not going to find it in Scripture because you can't find it. So those things like being slain in the spirit, we hear all these things about barking like dogs, laughing and rolling on the floor. We watched Jesus do that when he was at the temple, right? I know. I'm hearing. Told you I was going to be blunt. Well, that to me is just an insult to the Holy Spirit. So why would I say that? Why, Pastor, you being so blunt on this? Why would I say that? Well, it's because I don't think if the Holy Spirit was going to speak through us, if the Holy Spirit was going to speak through me or you, I do not think that he's going to speak through us barking like a dog. I want you to think about that for a second. what would that accomplish and what does it accomplish? What would it accomplish and what does it accomplish? How would that edify? How would that build us up? How would that build you up? How would that build me up? How would it build the church of God, the church of Christ up? How would it build that up? I mean, think about that. What purpose would it have to build up and to edify the body of Christ? Now, let's turn it around. Anybody ever remember what God did through a donkey? He spoke through a donkey. The donkey spoke as a man. So I don't think he's going to take a man and bark like a dog through him, right? I just don't believe these things. I mean, you might, that's all right, but I just don't believe these things. I believe it's mocking God. And I don't think all of that honors the Holy Spirit either. And I just don't see any of that in Scripture. Well, Jesus comes and he says, I'm going to send you a helper, one who will help you, one that you need, one that you can count on, one who's going to be exactly the same as me. And listen to what Jesus says in verse 15. He comes in this verse that really kind of dominates the chapter. This verse, it sets the foundation, the tone for the rest of the chapter. Look where he says there. He says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, this, if you truly love Jesus, you're going to be obedient. So if you want to know if the Holy Spirit is in you, you want to know if the Holy Spirit is alive, well, and active in you, you don't have to do all these other things because you realize all these things can be faked. I've had more than 3 appointments in my office from people from other churches that have no affiliation to me or to this church that have come to me and asked to meet with me because they didn't think they were saved, because if they didn't do this, this, and that in the Spirit, then they were told they weren't saved. And I said, okay, so if that's what you believe, then what's the problem? They said, I've been faking it for years. And I looked at them. I said, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Yes, I do. Do you believe he died on the cross for your sins and he rose again 3 days later and ascended into heaven to make intercession for you, and that one day he's going to come back and that he died on the cross for your sins? Yes, I do. What does Scripture say about that? Those who believe that will be saved. A lot of things can be faked. A lot of things have been faked. And I can fake barking like a dog. Right? I can fake holy laughter. I can fake these things, right? I can fake this and I can fake that and I can fake falling out on the floor and doing all of that. But let me tell you what's hard to fake. Listen. Get this. You can disagree with anything else I say, but you're not going to be able to disagree with this, all right? Anybody want to take a stab at what's hard to fake? Anybody want to take a stab when it comes to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? Does anybody want to take a stab at what's hard to fake? Obedience. Obedience is it's hard to fake. Yeah, don't get me wrong. You may be for a short period of time. You might be able to get away with it, maybe just for a little bit, but not for a long term. It'll catch up. You can't fake it for a whole long time. And he comes, and watch what he says. If you want to understand this and you want to really know the filling of the Holy Spirit, or if the Holy Spirit lives in you, then you're going to be keeping my commandments. I'm not saying it's right there in the text. It's right there in the Scripture, right? Now, that right there is the evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of you to love God and keep his commandments, living them out in your everyday life. Now, who does that perfectly in here besides me? You laughing with me or at me? I thought, that's good. because there isn't a perfect person that lives that out perfectly here every day. Now, when we cultivate the Holy Spirit, right? We cultivate the Holy Spirit. When we nurture, when we pursue the relationship of the Holy Spirit in our lives, how do we do that? By spending time in the Word of God, by pursuing the Lord and spending time in prayer. When you do this, let me tell you what He does, what the Holy Spirit does. He brings a guidance into your life. He'll bring a direction into your life that is something, whatever is lacking in you in the world. He's going to bring guidance and direction into your life that whatever it is that you're lacking in this world. Meaning this, His Word strengthens your weaknesses. His Word strengthens your weaknesses. While living in the, He strengthens your weakness while living in the world, right? The Word inside of you, the Holy Spirit abiding in you, when that's happening, you're obedient to God, you're being obedient to His Word, and He's abiding in you, you're cultivating a relationship with Him, you're seeking out the Word of God to live out the Word of God. He'll help you to confront the world. Who does not know the truth? You see me now? Now, I'm going to make a statement that probably a lot of you are going to disagree with. I'm just giving you all a heads up, but I'm going to say this anyways. Listen, the world is crazy right now. It's off its rocker. It's going Looney Tunes. If you just look around, everything in the Middle East, all of that, you've got wars that are breaking out, several countries being bombed. I can't even get into all of it, but you all know it. It's all over the news, right? There's just so much going on in the world. We watched a news thing this morning. I'm glad John's not in here. He might disagree with me. Oh, no, I thought it was him walking through the door. Oregon has over 2 million and something signatures to ban hunting and fishing in the state of Oregon. I know people who don't buy meat at Kroger's. They eat it. Get me off of this, right? It's crazy, right? The world is a mess. And you know what else is a mess? A good portion of our life, you know what else is a mess? Is us. Christians, us. Our lives can be a mess at any given time. Well, thank God, believer. Amen? You believer? Thank God, believer, we got somebody here, the helper, the guide, the encourager, the truth, right? We have somebody here who does have the truth and the solution, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. And He comes and He indwells in us. Now, I'm going to show you two things. Amen or amen, right? I'm going to show you two things. And look, verse 17 is where I'm going to settle for the first thing. And Jesus is going to talk about truth. Point number one, truth, where Jesus gives us this guidance and this direction that the world doesn't have. It's obvious that the world doesn't have it. Amen? I mean, look at it. I mean, but you know what else? Many, many in the world don't have the Holy Spirit either. So Jesus comes and He says this in John 14:16. Look what He says. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. So who is another helper? You should know this from last week. Who is another? He is a helper. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth of the exact same kind, right? And He's called these three things. He's called all these three things in the same chapter, the Spirit of truth, verse 17. Look what He says. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The world doesn't have Him, right? The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because, here's why, it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He, the Holy Spirit, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So here's Jesus. He comes here now, and Jesus talks about how the Holy Spirit now is going to come, and he is the Spirit of truth. Now, that's an interesting phrase right there. The Helper, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Now, this can be taken two ways. It can be read like this in the original language. It can be read one of two ways. The Spirit of truth. This thing's still warm. It's messing with me. Let's take that for there. All right. The Helper, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Now, this can be taken one or two ways. It can be read in the original language as the Spirit who gives truth, or it can be read this, the exact same way, the truth-giving Spirit. Now, it doesn't really matter either way because they're both correct. I just want you to know I studied this week, all right? But both of those are correct. But I'm going to bring it to you today as the truth-giving Spirit because that's what he gives. The Holy Spirit gives what? Truth, right? That's what he does. That everything that he does is wrapped up in truth. Now, watch the three times. Now, watch the three times that Jesus says this. Go to chapter 15, John 15, verse 26. John 15, 26. But, there's that word but. So what happens? There's a promise or a? There's either a promise or a? But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you, from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. There's a blessing right there. He will testify of me. Now watch, because he's adding something to it right here. He's adding something to that. So what is the work of and the job of the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you. It's not to give a service where everybody is slain in the Spirit. That's not his job. It is not to have a service where everybody just falls out laughing and barking like a dog. In fact, I want you to think about this. Do you ever think that the Holy Spirit says, you know what, I'm tired of pointing to Jesus. I want to point to myself for a little while. I want people to worship me instead of Jesus. So I'm going to point the fingers at me. So he gets tired of pointing. Do you think that ever happens, he gets tired of pointing to Jesus and starts soaking himself? No. That never happens. The Holy Spirit never draws attention to himself. So I want you to get this and never let go of this. I want you to never let go of this truth about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always pointing to Christ. Always, 100% of the time, is always pointing to Christ. He's always speaking of Christ. He is always drawing people to Christ. He is always elevating Christ. He's always pushing them up. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying right there in that text. That's what he's saying. And that's so important for you to remember when you come to deal with and think about the Holy Spirit. That's important for you to get that. He testifies all the time about Jesus Christ. He is always pointing people to Jesus Christ. Now look over to chapter 16 and verse 13. John 16, verse 13, where Jesus says this. Look what he says. He says, however, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now let me ask, who do you trust in this world to do just that for you? To guide you into all truth. Who do you trust in these days to guide you into truth? Listen, there are a lot of people out there that will deceive you and guide you into what they say is truth. Even some so-called preachers, including me. So I want you to listen to me very loud and clear here. Don't you ever take what I say at face value. Don't you think and take it because I said it that that's just the gospel truth. Don't you ever do that. What should you do? You always compare what I say to the Word of God. 100% of the time, all the time. You always take that. Right? You compare it to the Word of God. And there are a lot of publications out there, a lot of broadcasts that are out there, a lot of various things that are out there that say, oh, this is truth. This is what it is. This is what it really is, right? And this is truth, and that is truth, and the other is truth. And they call you to that stuff, but I want to tell you something. The one that you can trust 100% of the time to lead you into truth is the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit. Test everything according to the Word of God. I don't care whose mouth it comes out of, including mine. Listen, I can't trust anybody else but the Holy Spirit. There's a pretty popular line in a movie about truth, and I used this last week, where Jack Nicholson says, and I'm just going to see if you all remember what it is. What did he say in that famous movie? You can't handle the truth. Listen, it's one of those, the most famous scenes ever filmed. The scene is so dramatic that you get totally caught up in it. Now, I want you to think about that for a second, though. I want you to think about that for a second. You can't handle the truth. Do you know that God has never thought that about you? God has never thought that about you. Think about it for a second. You've never had to go to the Holy Spirit and pray, "Oh, Holy Spirit, please, 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 pretty, please, pretty, please, will you give me the truth this time?" I think I deserve it, Lord. Holy Spirit, I think I deserve the truth. That's what I really want to know. I want to know the truth. So would please give me the truth for a change? Sound ridiculous? You never had the Holy Spirit look at you. Let me tell you something else. You never had the Holy Spirit look at you and say, "You can't handle the truth." Because in Christ, all things are. Oh, get going. Listen, He is the Spirit of Truth, and He comes and He will guide you into the truth that. All the truth that there is. And that is just cool in my book, right? Listen, I don't know about you, but I am thankful that out of this world of people like Putin and Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un and our own government, right? They want to seem to tell us things. We live in a world of lies. We live in a world of deceit. We live in a world of fraud, right? We live in a deceived world. We live in a world of clickbait deception. And here's the truth. We shouldn't expect anything different. Why? Because the world does what? The world lies. And it also lies in the hands of the evil one. And what does the Bible say about him? The evil one? What is he called? The evil one? He's called a liar. That's what Scripture identifies him as, a liar. And he's been a liar since the beginning. Yet, let me give you a little hope. You want some hope? Let me give you a little hope. Let me take you back and show you something in the prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3. Just watch, it's coming up. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3. Listen to this. "Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." So understand, there's a world, there's a world of lies that are out there, right? That's why we need to know the Word of God, amen? Because we see them and we hear them all the time. Lies, 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 and more lies. But let me tell you something. We, believers in Jesus Christ, we are headed to a city made by God that is known as the City of Truth. And no lie will ever enter it. Can you imagine a day? Hallelujah. Amen. All right, right? Now let me give you, just calm down a little bit, all right? Just calm down. Let me give you the second thing. The second thing is this. The second point is this. You ready for it? Illumination. Come on. You like how I got that in there? VBS theme, illumination. So, there he is, the Spirit of Truth in verse 12. Now look in verse 26. Get down but now in verse 26. And let me hop over a lot of what I've already gone over with you and bring you to two things in verse 26 that I think are very important. Look at verse 26. But the helper, remember, Parakletos, the one called alongside of, right? The helper, the Holy Spirit, he who gives us truth, who we grasp at that truth, right? Revealed to us by God, we grasp that truth by God, whom the Father will send in my name. And what does he do? What does he do? Because he causes you to bark like a dog. He causes you to pass out. He causes you to uncontrollable laughter. What does he do when the Father will send, whom the Father will send in my name? What will he do? He will what? What did Jesus do? Oh, imagine that. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And there is the work of the Holy Spirit. There it is. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you're sitting there like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. We should be excited. We should be jumping with joy. Do you want to know why? Because this right here is profitable to you. It's profitable to you. You know who else is profitable to? The church. It's profitable to you and it's profitable to the church. It builds us up. It edifies, right? It strengthens us in our relationship with Christ. Now listen, I talked a little bit last week about how the disciples were disturbed that Jesus was going away. But Jesus says, listen, I'm going to send you another helper. And now I don't know how they responded to that news. Maybe it's, well, no, we don't want anybody else. We want you. We don't want you to leave. We don't want anybody else. I'm sure they didn't want any somebody else. I'm sure they wanted to keep him. But they had to be thinking, we want you, Jesus. That would be natural, right? So Jesus says, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to do with you just like I did with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. And I'm going to teach you. He's going to teach you and he'll be with you just like I've done. Just like me. He's going to protect you, he's going to guard you, he's going to guide you, and he's going to lead you in all of these things. And he's going to do exactly what I did. He's going to teach you the way that I have taught you. You remember when Jesus taught them? When Jesus taught them, what did the crowd say? The crowd looked at him and said this. They looked at him and said, we've never heard anybody like this. He teaches with authority. Do you remember when I prayed, I said, Lord, do not let me speak on my authority, but listen, you don't want my authority. You want his authority. You could care less what I think, but you're all involved in what he thinks. You get me, right? He says, he teaches with authority. He teaches unlike the Pharisees and the rabbis. This one speaks with authority. So Jesus says, I'm going to come and teach you. Now, what did that mean? How did Jesus teach? How did he speak to them? How did he talk to them? How did he communicate with them? You know where I'm going, right? Was he barking like a dog? Was he uncontrollable laughter? How did he do it? I'm so glad you asked me that question. I love it when you people ask me questions like that. Well, I wanted to show you something here. Let me take you and show you this in Scripture, right? Look back to chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel. Jesus comes with the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. where, if you remember, a large crowd was coming together. Those from various cities are journeying in to hear him, to hear him speak. And he spoke by the way of a parable, right? And by a parable, what is a parable? Anybody want to tell me what a parable is? It's a story. And here's the thing about a story. It could be true or it could be fiction. All right, so he's telling a story, right? He's telling something. So here he goes. He spoke by a parable of eight. Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. So some fell on the rock, some fell among the thorns, some fell on good ground. Well, Jesus then begins to walk away from the crowd after he says this, right? And his disciples in verse 9, Luke chapter 8, right, verse 9, begins questioning him as to what this parable meant. What did it mean? So they asked point blank, the crowd, the disciples asked him point blank, what does this parable mean? We don't understand it. We don't grasp it. And Jesus is going to break it down and explain it to them. Now put your finger right there in Luke chapter 8 and look back to Matthew chapter 13. Keep your finger there in Luke chapter 8 and go back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 verse 24. Where Jesus had just talked to the crowds about the tares among the wheat. Another parable, okay? He's going to talk to them about the tares among the wheat. Look what it says there, Matthew 13, 24. And the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed a good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So the servant said, do you want me to gather up the tares? And the owner said, no, because in gathering up the tares, you may also uproot the wheat. Jesus said, let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest will separate them. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. They said, Jesus, you've got to explain that one to us. You've got to explain it to us, the parable of the tares in the field. Now, the word explain there means this, to make clear, to go clear through. That's the meaning of it, to go clear through, clear a way through all of that parable and get to the meaning of all of it and tell us what it is. And so Jesus said, he goes through it and he explains it, right? Now go back to Luke chapter 8. You got your finger there. Go back to Luke chapter 8. And do you see what Jesus says there? Look what he says. He says to you, it has been granted. Look at verse 10 of Luke 8. Luke 8 verse 10. And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So to these disciples, he's speaking to his followers. Now, what is Jesus saying in that to them? What is he saying to them in there? What does he mean by that? Well, he takes these disciples aside, and he sits down and he begins to break it down. He does an exposition of the parable. He tells them and explains it all to them. That's what exposition means. He takes them and he explains it all to them. He walks them through it and he says, it's for you, you're to know this stuff. Who's he talking to? His followers, his disciples. He says, it is for you to know this stuff. So why does Jesus talk to the crowd in parables? Well, Jesus tells us why he does. He says, it will be clear to those who want to follow him. It'll be clear to those who want to follow him. But to those who do not want to follow him, the parable is absolutely 100% confusing. The parable isn't made clear. It's a great delusion. Oh, where's that word delusion? Do we hear anything about that in the end times? G- Jesus says, that's because you're not really interested in following. You don't understand because you're really not interested in following me. Ooh, ouch. You're not getting it. Because you really, truly are not really interested in following me. But if you're interested in following Jesus Christ, let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit in your life is the one who comes to teach you the Word of God. He may use me to help it, but I'm not the one. The one that's in me. You say, well, that's great then. You just brought something to my mind, Pastor. If that's the truth, if it's not you and it's the Holy Spirit, you say, well, why are we even here then? Why are we in church? Why do I need to go to church? Why are we even here? Good question. Good question. And you know what I'm going to do? I want to give you an answer, right? I want to give you an answer to it because people from time to time come and want to say, it's not necessary for me to be in church. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't have to go to church to be this. I don't have to go to church to be that. Yeah, yeah. Let me be first and foremost. I don't come to church because I have to. I come to church because I want to. And when you get that, it'll change your life. And by the way, the Holy Spirit just gave that to me. Right? Why do I need to come to Sunday school? Why do I need to come to Bible study? Why, Pastor? Why? If what you said is true, I get taught by, then why? First of all, let me ask you this question, and before I even move on, how much are you feeding in the Word of God every week by yourself? Why do I need to do these things? Why do I need to come to church, Bible study, and Sunday school? Because you want to know why? Because we're pouring the Word of God into you. We're pouring it in. I'm preaching it. I'm preaching it the best of my ability. I'm going back to the Word. I keep taking you back to the Word. I'm giving you word studies. I'm giving you word meanings. I'm giving you an exposition. I'm explaining it over and over of what the text means. I'm breaking the text down. I'm exposing what it is saying to you in a deeper sense, more than just a surface reading of it. I'm giving you reference throughout the rest of the Word of God that connects you back to what I'm trying to tell you so that you can compare that what I'm saying is truth. And one day you're going to be in a situation like 5 years from now, maybe somewhere down the road, and the Holy Spirit who works in you and dwells in you is going to bring some kind of response, some kind of clarity, some kind of direction, and the Holy Spirit is going to pick that up and bring it back up to your remembrance when you need it. You say, but that doesn't happen to me. Well, maybe, just maybe, it's because you haven't given the Holy Spirit anything to work with, my friends. Ouch. If this hour and a half is all the spiritual feeding you're getting this entire week, spiritually, you're going to starve to death. And you can't figure out why I'm not experiencing God. If this is it, you're going to starve to death. Now listen, I love you. I love each and every one of you. Some of you more than others, but no. I love each and every one of you. And that's why I say stuff like this. It's not because I don't like you. It's just the opposite. It's because I love you. You know, in my early days, I had a guy by the name of Jack Trickett. He was a church planter. He was also a mentor to me, and I was very young. And after it was Jack had passed, then Randy Ryan became. But Jack, he took me and he talked to me about study. Anybody here ever know Jack Trickett? Did he ever talk to any of you about study? I know he did. You don't even have to answer that one, right? But he talked to me about prayer, the importance of prayer, about morning quiet times. He talked to me about writing out my sermons. He taught me about writing my youth lessons out, about Sunday school class lessons and such. He talked to me about being prepared. He talked to me about that a lot. He did those kind of things and much, much more. Listen, I didn't have anybody else to talk to me, but he did. He poured into me. And at that point, I never had a preaching class or anything else. So I took him at his word. So I'd get a passage, and I'd study the passage and work through the passage, and I'd write the passage out. The word was being poured into me. I was engaging the word, and the word was engaging me through the Holy Spirit. You know, someone once told me a story about a preacher who was called to preach a revival. And one of the people said to him, asked him, he says, "What are you going to preach on tonight?" And this was his answer. He said, "I don't know until I get up there." The person said, "What do you mean you don't know until you get up there?" He said, "When I get up there, the Holy Spirit will give it to me." He said, "The Holy Spirit will just give it to me and I'll just preach." Now, I just told you a second ago the Holy Spirit just gave me something, right? And he did. He said, "The Holy Spirit will just give it to me and I'll just preach." Anybody want to know how long he made it in a revival? One night. Let me tell you something, folks. I believe the Holy Spirit can speak through us. But let me tell you something else. If you walk out of here and throw your Bible in the back seat or in the back window or on the dash of your car, and that's where it stays till next week, or you take it home and put it on the shelf somewhere and never look at the Word of God again until you come back here, let me tell you what you're not doing. You're not giving the Holy Spirit anything to work with. You're not cultivating the Holy Spirit in yourself. And that's why God is distant. That's why we think God is up way out there. We talk like he's 5 million miles away. And he's only this far away. He's just not going. He's just not going to conjure up verses in your head. Now, he can, but he ain't. He's not just going to, let me say that a little different. He's not just going to conjure up verses in your head and put them in your mouth. He could, but he won't. I'm just put it that way. Will he give you something as I'm preaching? Sure, yes. I will promise you this, church. I will promise you this. I will never have the audacity to stand up here before you, or more importantly, before God, without pouring myself over the Word of God and what is going to be preached or whatever is going to proceed out of my mouth, I will tell you I will not do that. And personally, that's why it's important to be in Bible study. That's why it's important to be in church. That's why it's important to be in a private devotional, to be in Sunday school or Sunday school group, to attend Bible study in church, to hear the Word of God. To hear the Word of God over and over and over and over and over again. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, you said something to me years ago. You know, I see them in a restaurant, Walmart, wherever. They come up to me, you said something years ago. You said, you don't even remember me, Pastor. You don't even know who I am. But years ago, I visited your church, and which is God's church, not my church. I visited your church, and you said this, that, or the other. And that has stuck with me all this time. It has changed my life. Listen to me, church. You've got to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. I told you it was a conditional sentence last week. You do this, then this is what will happen. You got to give him something to work with. You have to engage. You have to cultivate. And listen, when you do, hang on. Because somebody's going to think there's something wrong with you. They're going to think you're a freak. Thank you. I am freaky, but I don't know if I'm a freak. But look what, listen, don't believe me? Look at John 14, 26, what it says. He will teach you all things, and then look, bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Meaning he will cause... He will cause to come up into your mind and into your memory. These things, his word, his truth, will illuminate your thinking. And he will illuminate the text of you. Listen, what am I telling you? The Holy Spirit, God, Jesus Christ himself is telling you this. He says this is a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual thing that's taking place. And the heavenlies and the realms and through the Holy Spirit is spiritual. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. It's got to illuminate. It's got to be illuminated for you. It's got to be illuminated for you. It's got to be illuminated to you. It has to be revealed to you or you won't understand it like the world. You won't understand it. You won't understand his word. You won't understand his scriptures. And that's the word of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Right there it is. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. It's spiritual, see it? God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit teaches all things. Yes. Look, yes. The deep things of God. Now we have received. Look, now we have received. Not the spirit of the world. We're different. We're freaks, right? We're different, right? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. By who? By God. These things we also speak. The things that God gives us, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with what the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's spiritual. You getting my point? And that's what you have in your hands. Here it is. Right in front of you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Spiritual thoughts, spiritual words in the Holy Spirit. He illuminates the Word of God for you, to you, to understand it. He makes it come alive. That's why they call it the what? The living Word. He gives you understanding of it. And once you start getting that, then you want more. It's like crack, man. It's a spiritual crack, all right? Now, let me give you a quick illustration. I've got my, I forgot my cell phone, Donna. You stand up there and you do it. So I'm going to read it. I'll give you a quick illustration. I have here, I got my cell phone here, but my wife has her cell phone here. I left mine in my office. Oh, that's mine? I can't skip this because I told Nick and Isaac they made sermon. Now, there are times that this little signal thing goes on right up here. And it shows a satellite. Right? Yours will do that too. If you are out somewhere where there's no cell phone signal, let me give you an example, like Drover's Inn. There's no cell phone signal at Drover's Inn unless Matt, he get it. He's different. But there's no cell phone signal. So there's this little satellite symbol up there. If you, it'll have a little satellite up there, and then it will tell you to turn your phone this way or that way to point to find the satellite. I see my daughter doing it all the time. So I'm sitting here typing something in, and it sends a signal up to a satellite, right? That's what happens, right? And that satellite sends a signal down to somewhere else and gets the answer that I'm looking for whatever it is that I'm looking for, and it sends it back to the satellite and then back down to this telephone. And that's all in language you and I can't even begin to understand or know about unless you're Nick or Isaac. They do understand that. But then once the satellite connects, up pops the answer. Ba-boom. There it is. The answer. Send it up. Finds the answer. And comes back. And it reveals it to you. There's the Holy Spirit. You're getting a word from the throne of God that you can't possibly grasp on your own. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual satellite, right? And the Holy Spirit is bringing that signal to you and illuminates your spirit to grasp what God, through the Holy Spirit, has written right here. And that's what's going on between you as a follower of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual satellite that connects us with God. And who else? God and who else? Jesus and who else? What lives in you lives in me. Do you ever walk in the presence of somebody and you get, oh, and but then you walk in the presence of somebody and you're like, automatically, no. You see it? Here's an old hymn. Some of you may remember it. It's page 502 in our hymnal. It goes like this. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Understand, the Holy Spirit is here to teach me the same way Jesus taught the disciples in truth. He's also here to help me remember, to recall. He'll illuminate my mind. He'll open my eyes that I can see and understand the truth of His Word. So now, as the hymn goes on, look. Silently now I wait for Thee, ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Is that just good or what? I mean, that's just good. Listen, you need to make that your prayer. Make that your prayer. Silently now I wait for Thee. Ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my eyes. Illumine me, Spirit divine. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father God, Holy Spirit, we come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ today, whom you have made known to us through your word. And we thank you for that. We thank you for revealing your word to us. We come to give Jesus Christ glory, honor, and praise. We come to give him thanks and gratitude and appreciation. We come to honor him for who he is, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi, my banner of victory, my battle fighter. Jehovah Shema, my God who is always there. Jehovah Shalom, my God, my peace. We come and we praise his great name. We come and we worship his great name. We come and we honor his great name. And we come and we bow before his great name. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for you have led us into the truth, into his word. We ask that you will illuminate our hearts. We ask that we would hear you beckoning us to come to Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, to trust him and to put our faith in him, to believe that he is the Son of God who went to the cross and died for us and was raised to give us eternal life. Amen, amen. Help us today, Lord. Help us, Lord, today to do whatever you're calling us to do. Help us to follow you and to be obedient to your holy word. It is in your great name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let all the earth rejoice.
our God, and all will see how great is our God. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how.
Thank you all for coming today. Powerful word this morning. You know, and Larry's talking about the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't make us do goofy things. But, you know, I know he's here today, and he's here often, and he reveals himself to me all the time. Because as I'm home pecking out songs, you guys think that there's a whole lot that goes into this. It's just whatever happens to be on my heart, really. And this was on my heart today, and it lined up perfectly with Pastor Larry again. This happens all the time. This is not a mistake. This is weird. But the Holy Spirit's not weird. But this is weird, you know, because I know me. But it's all for you, because God wants you guys to see this. God wants you to have it. So with that, VBS is starting. So pray for everybody that's going to be here all this week, because they're going to need your help. And with that, y'all may be dismissed.